Before I introduce our speaker today, I would like to share my recovery story with you. Dr. Hugh Smith asked me to introduce him and was kind enough to let me use some of his time to do so. My name is Irene, and I'm recovering from depression. I found DEA about 4 years ago by searching the internet, and I'm very grateful for that. It changed my life because in DEA, I found a support group, friends, and my purpose in life. I don't know what I would do without DEA support and MDEPANON, the 12-step recovery program for families and friends of the depressed. In DEA, I have a sponsor and I'm a member of two co-sponsorship groups. In MDEPANON, I have support of people who learn how to help themselves in dealing with their depressed significant others, DSO, by focusing on themselves instead of trying to fix their DSO. Even though I have help from my psychiatrist, psychotherapist, and take medications for depression, it is not enough for my recovery. I desperately needed a support group and a plan for my recovery, which I found in 12-step groups of Depressed Anonymous and MDEPANON. There I learned tools to deal with my depression, such as using law of threes, replacing one negative thought with three positive sunspots, remembering happy places, things, and people, reaching out to my dear friends, attending DEA meetings. I learned how important it is to return day after day to the meetings and the courage to share my feelings and focus on myself and my recovery. It was hard for me to understand the concept of higher power. My higher power is the power of DEA group, nature, universal love, and yoga. The programs of DEA and MDEPANON taught me to take care of myself so I can help others. These programs teach me to focus on the solution and see how each step moves me towards my recovery. The most difficult step in DEA for me was step four, and I would not be able to finish it without help of my sponsor. It was helpful and fun to go through the steps with my two co-sponsorship groups. Thank you guys for supporting me on my journey of recovery. I suffered from depression all my life, but I didn't know that. My first hospitalization occurred when I came to America and I was diagnosed with clinical depression. I came to America 32 years ago from Ukraine, city of Kharkiv, with my parents, younger brother, and grandparents from both sides. We came as refugees to reunite with relatives. Everything was different in New York, culture, people, language, food. I became homesick and severely depressed. I went to college and got stressed out even more. So during my second semester, I was hospitalized for depression. However, because I had a lot of support from my parents, I was able to come back and get my bachelor's degree in education. In Ukraine, I finished ballet school. So I took ballet classes in college and I met my husband there. We took ballet together. However, my depression was back after I gave birth to my two sons. I was hospitalized for depression after giving birth to each of them. My husband supported me and learned about my depression by seeing me in bed for days, not showing any interest in food, shower, or any activities, not taking care of myself, him, or kids. I had a clinical depression with suicidal attempts, so he often brought me to the hospital. I had numerous hospitalizations and different diagnoses, major depression, seasonal affective disorder, bipolar, treatment-resistant depression. Medication helped for a while and then stopped working. However, I was persistent and got my master's degree in science and education and then advanced certificate in bilingual school psychology. I worked in a community college as a counselor for freshman students, international students, and students with disabilities. Then I worked as a bilingual school psychologist with autistic children in agencies, and finally as a bilingual school psychologist for New York City Department of Education. My job was very stressful, and I had to quit it after 10 years and many hospitalizations and go for disability for depression. During that time, I found yoga. In 2015, I attended a master class with Tao Fortune Lynch, who became my inspirational teacher. She was teaching yoga until she passed at 101. After a master class, I bought her autobiographical book, and to my surprise, found a picture of myself sitting next to Tao. It was a sign for me to go for my yoga certification. Yoga helped me a lot during my battle with depression. I practiced it during my hospitalizations and shared it with everyone who wanted to learn. So then I found DA. I wanted to share my love for yoga with DA friends and offered free yoga since then via Zoom. I would like to share some chair yoga with you today so you will have a taste of it too. So before I start, I want to read a quote from my inspirational teacher, Tao Porchen Lynch. And a quote for today is, yoga is a darsana, a mirror to look at ourselves from within. And here it's her picture. I don't know if you can see it. She looks beautiful at 97 years old at this picture. So please sit comfortably on your bed or on your chair. If you're sitting on your bed, you can place one foot, one leg in front of another and sit in Sukhasana, easy pose. If you're sitting on a chair, just place your feet parallel to each other. Roll your shoulders up and down. Place your hands on your lap, close your eyes, and concentrate on your breath. Just observe it. Do not change anything yet. Listen to any sounds outside of your room. Imagine any object outside of your room. Then bring your attention inside of your room. Listen to any sounds inside of your room. Mentally observe any objects around you. And then bring your attention inside of your body. Listen to your heartbeat, maybe your breath. Do not change anything yet. Now set your intentions for today's practice, something for yourself, someone you love, or anybody who is suffering at the present moment. Yogi believe that by setting our intentions for our practice, we benefit from it more. We'll begin our practice by chanting Om three times. Om is a universal sound which unites us with each other and the universe. Please inhale for Om. Observe the sound vibration of Om in your body. Gently open your eyes. We'll continue with Netra Vyayama, the eye movement. So please remove your eyeglasses. If you have them, place them somewhere safe. Close your eyes and imagine large round clock in front of you. Open your eyes to the center of your clock. Bring them up to number 12. Glide them down to number 6. Continue this movement at your own pace. Relax your facial muscles, muscles of your jaw, neck, and shoulders. Yogi believes that by practicing Netra Vyayama on a regular basis, we can improve our vision. Meantime, we're straightening our eye muscles. Next time when your eyes come to number 12, center them, close, inhale, exhale, and relax. Open your eyes to the center of your clock, bring them to the right, number 3, glide them to the left, number 9. Continue this movement at your own pace. Try not to move your head and breathe naturally. Next time when your eyes come to the right, center them, close, inhale, exhale, and relax. Open your eyes to the center of your clock, bring them up to number 12, and we'll continue with clockwise movement to the right. 1, 2, 3, continue at your own pace. Try not to skip any numbers. If you feel like you're skipping them, just go more slowly next round. Remember to relax your face, neck, and shoulders. Next time when your eyes come to number 12, center them close. Inhale, exhale, and relax. Open your eyes to the center of your clock, bring them up to number 12, and we'll continue this counterclock movement to the left. 11, 10, 9. Continue at your own pace. Next time when your eyes come to number 12, do not rush. Center them close. Inhale, exhale, and release. Now with your eyes closed, bring your palms together and rub them briskly to generate the heat. As soon as you feel the heat is generated, cup your eyes with your palms, inhale warmth and darkness into your eyes, exhale tension and negativity. Relax your shoulders and elbows, and as soon as you feel the heat is dissipating, start tapping or massaging your face from the point between your eyebrows, third eye, moving toward your temples with your fingertips, and then your cheekbones, jaw, neck, shoulders, collarbones, wherever you feel you need a gentle touch today. Thank yourself for taking this time and practicing yoga with me today. And then you feel ready, release your hands on your lap. Observe how you feel after Netravyayama, the eye movement. Gently open your eyes if they were closed. And now I would like to show you the foundational breathing practice, which called Dirghashvasam, or three-part breath. So if you'd like to practice that, please place your right hand on your low belly, left hand on your chest, and we'll begin by inhaling and expanding low abdomen, forward and up, lifting ribcage and chest. And on exhalation, release your chest, ribcage, and low abdomen goes toward the spine. Again, inhale, expand your abdomen forward and up, lift your ribcage and chest. And on exhalation, chest, ribcage relaxes, low abdomen goes toward the spine. Continue this movement at your own breath, at your own pace. Yogi believe that by breathing this way, we intake 7 times more oxygen than during our regular breathing, and therefore extending our life. Because yogi believe that each of us is born with certain amount of breath, and by extending our breath, we extending our life. This breathing practice can be practiced at any time. It improves focus and concentration, relieves anxiety, calms mind and body. Next time, then you exhale, release your hands on your lap, and observe how you feel after Dirghashvasam, three-part breath. Return to your normal breathing pattern. I will be chanting Om 3 times, and then we'll do brief meditation during which you can repeat any mantra of your choice, Om Shanti, Om Peace, So Hum I Am, or just concentrate on your breath or heartbeat. Inhale for 3 Oms. Just close your eyes and concentrate on your mantra. Gently open your eyes, bring your palms in front of your chest. And we conclude our session today with chanting peace prayer or closing shloka. If you're familiar with it, you can chant it with me. Otherwise, listen alone. Asatoma sadgamaya Gamaya. Read your mom, read some Gamaya. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Lead us from unreal to real. Lead us from darkness to the light. Lead us from fear of death to knowledge of immortality. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Lokasamastasukhinobhavantu. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. And may the light of truth overcome all darkness. Victory to that light. Jai Shri Sadguru Maharaj Ki Jai. Let's all bow to the light within all of us. Namaste. Thank you for sharing your energy with me today. Thank you for practicing yoga. And let's continue with our conference. Depressed Anonymous was founded in 1985 by Dr. Hugh Smith. Hugh earned his master's degree in counseling psychology from the University of Evansville, Indiana, and doctorate in pastoral counseling from the Graduate Theological Foundation in Donaldson, Indiana. Hugh had previously worked with persons with dementia in a long-term care facility in Louisville, Kentucky. He wrote 12 books related to the subject of depression and recovery. And now it is my honor and pleasure to introduce a founder of 12-step programs of DEA and DEPANON, an author of literature for these programs, an inspirational speaker, and my friend, Dr. Hugh Smith.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Irene. That was a very, hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yes,
we
thank
can
you.
hear you.
Okay, good. That was wonderful. Irene, thank you for a very how shall I say, instructive hands-on experience with yoga. So in my reading, there have been some good things said about yoga and for those who want to practice it. So again, thank you for coming in today and also by being part of a fellowship that you and I both belong to. So I'm going to get started now and going back to where Irene started or left off on the how did this all get started, DA? Well, I was doing some practicing counseling with clients. You take your tape recorder and then you take it back to the boss, the professor, and they say, how are you doing? Bad, good, or indifferent? I was counseling a lady named Jane, and Jane was very depressed. So I had a session with her every week, about an hour, and every week she did this and did that and did what I asked her to do, like get involved with life again. She had a hobby and she was a cartoonist. And eventually she did those things. And then like 8 sessions into it, she started feeling different. She started feeling better. She started feeling like herself again. So I thought, wow, this is interesting, you know, and this is wonderful. So I thought, I had an idea. Why don't I ask the dean of psychology if we might have a group where we could bring people together who were sent to us by mental health professionals? We did that. 20 or so people came to our group, and I had master's level students like myself, and we organized this group, and we met twice a week. And people came for 10, 15 weeks. What happened that because of this, we had an idea, the group and I decided, you know what? Wouldn't it be good if we had a group like this based on the 12 steps of AA? When I proposed this to the dean of psychology, he said, Hugh, you're losing your mind. You can't even get these people out of bed in the morning. So, did that stop me? No, I was stubborn. So, we set up a group called Depressed Anonymous on May the 30th, 1985. And people came. There were about 15 to 20 people there. And after that meeting, I asked, do you want to do this again? This was at St. Mary's Hospital in Evansville. They said, yeah, let's do this again. So we did it again and again and again. And then we started another group. We had two groups at Evansville meeting, all using the same principles that we use in Depressed Anonymous. They got better. Some got better. A few didn't get better, but many did get better. So from a few to many, there's a message here. We found that people who come together, like you're doing today and every day, if you like, at Depressed Anonymous website here, you will find hope. And that's what these people found in Evansville. And so the point here is we had something that works and something that helps and something that gives hope. My point again is here's the deal. Why don't we do this and form this group and call it, give it a name. And one of the people in the recovery groups or the mental health groups, she said, why don't we call it Uppers for Downers? Oh, I said, that's clever. But then I thought, no, why don't we just call it what it is? Depressed Anonymous. It's for people depressed, based on AA. And so that's how we are, who we are today. We're Depressed Anonymous, a program of recovery, a fellowship where people can come together and find help and hope. So with that in mind, the fellowship was formed, and we began meeting ongoing. And then because I needed money to pay for my master's degree, I went into private practice. And I was in private practice for a couple of years. And then because of my interest in what I was doing, namely Depressed Anonymous, just like Bill W. and Dr. Bob, you know, that's what they discovered, that if you could keep it simple and talk about your experiences, your life, your struggles, you will find hope and you will get better. So with that in mind, I decided to go into private practice. So I set up a private practice. The two DA groups were going, and I found some wonderful people in that group. Some of them have written articles in the back of our book in the personal stories. You know what made me really tingle, as so to speak, with hope? When people came to our group and told about their experiences with depression in a place that was confidential, they could tell what they wanted to tell, they found hope. Now, I shouldn't have been too amazed because in AA, I too found that hope. I found that belief that I would get better if I did this, 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 and that. And that's what they were doing. So, with that belief, people came and got better. And then I thought, guys, you know, this is a great idea Bill W. and Dr. Bob had. But anyway, so I continued my practice and I got a notice about a job in Louisville. That's where I'm living now, a job for somebody to do some counseling in a clinic. So I took that job. But the one thing I took with me was my Bible, my big book, and this vision that I had. I didn't just have an idea, I had a vision. I said, my guys, this is wonderful. So we started a DA group right outside my office in a conference room, and people started coming. And then we needed something more. We needed a book. Well, we didn't have a book. We had handouts and mimeograph copies. So we put together a book. I sent the book to a dear friend of mine, Dr. Rowe, in England, who was one of my, how should I say, mentors in my own life dealing with depression. And she said, Hugh, can I send it to my publisher? And the book is, you know, it was meek and mild, it's small. So I said, yeah, sure, give it a try. So HarperCollins printed this book. And And I was amazed. I thought, wow, a much better job than I would do. They might even found a few typos. Can you believe that? Okay. So anyway, we had this book published. And then things started to grow. People had a book they could look at. They could read it. They could take it home. And then another book, then another book. So I began to believe that this group, this depressed anonymous, could go on. It could survive me or any other DA member. And so the vision has given life. Life to you, life to me. I was just reading on page 58 in the big book of AA. You might want to look at that page. That page is about doing an examine at night before you go to bed. Look at your day, what worked, what didn't work, and so on and so forth. Where you need to forgive, forgive. But that was a good reminder to me that we now have a book. We have a lot of book. One on higher thoughts. You use them here on your fellowship every day. I'll do it when I feel better. The workbook. The thing that I found with Depressed Anonymous is a workbook will enable you to ask yourself questions that you would not normally ask yourself. How would you? Because your experience of depression would not prepare you for what you might discover in real life. So we did that. And so now I use the big book and the workbook for doing step work with people who want a sponsor. And that's another thing. If you really want to get better, you get better by service. That is a key element with Depressed Anonymous and every other 12-step program. Do service. Get involved. Help somebody else. And there's so many ways to do service. And I think you all could figure that out, what you can do. I also recommend if you don't have a sponsor, you and another person working on the 12 steps, use the workbook for a co-sponsorship. There's different ways to get to the root of your problem. I think a workbook and the 12 steps and this group will be your source of strength. Let me tell you this. I told somebody this the other day. Every time I come to this meeting, the Depressed Anonymous meeting, the daily, this group is on air twice a day, and then with other all sorts of other good groups out there that you can find out about. But the thing that gets me, when I come to a group, I feel this, a parenthesis. People say to me, well, don't you get depressed? Listen to all that depressed stuff, all that, depression. And I say, au contraire, no, I find life. I find inspiration. I find a feeling that comes in me. I really feel joy. Wow. And I feel the same joy I felt when I got recovered, when I started recovery. You'll feel the same thing. You'll feel, gee, this is really a source of my healing, of my strength. My higher power is working in this group. It's working in this group right now. And so my message to others is, if you want help, here it is on a platter. But it takes work, it takes time, and you need to keep coming back to meetings. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can. That's the message of this big meeting that we're having today. That's the message. Change the things that I can't. You can go to meetings, you can read the literature, you can talk to a sponsor, you can talk to each other, you can come to meetings and share, you can lead the meeting. There's a wealth of things you can do to find recovery and be in recovery and to be in a fellowship. What does the world need more than anything? They're looking for community. That's what we're looking for. People that know me by my name. People that love me and care about me. You'll find that here. I found it back in 1985, and you'll find it here in 2024. God bless you for coming. Irene, thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for all who are going to share your story today. I'll be here. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking for help. I'm looking for hope. And I'll find it here. Thank goodness for the Journey of Hope and Depressed Anonymous. And with that, that's it. And thank you for listening and having me here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hugh, for
thank
speaking
you.
To us. And now the floor is open for Sharon. Just raise your hand and Shana will call on you if you have any questions or comments. Thank
or
you.
Or Irene, or for me, if you have questions for either one of us.
Kirk, please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Kirk. I'm working very hard at recovering from my depression. I'm happy to be here this morning. It was great to hear Hugh share. I needed to load up and get Billy Boy in the Mustang to get a better signal so that I could receive the full message. You know, because it is about carrying the message to those who still suffer. Carry the message and don't carry the mess. Because I don't think we're equipped to carry the mess. I mean, we work too hard on ourselves that I just don't think we're equipped to carry the mess. So I think we are equipped to carry the message and to be of service to those people that need help and want help. But there's one thing that sticks out to me about Hugh, and that is the kind of the vim and vigor and that little orneriness about him, about getting off your butt and do something to live in the solution and not dwell in the problem. So if there's anything that sticks with me about Hugh, it's that. And so if you're struggling and you're wondering what this is all about, get off your butt and figure out how to live in the solution and not sit in the shit.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad it helps.
Thank you, Kirk. Stacy, you're next.
Hi, I'm Stacy, recovering from depression. Thank you. I want to give feedback to both Hugh and Irene. God, Hugh, thank you so much for everything you do. It is amazing, this program. Thank you for, I just love hearing you because I hear you speak from the heart and I hear your passion for recovery in this program and for all of us here. And I think you know that you played a huge role in my life completely changing and my recovery, and I thank you for that and for the program and the workbook. This program has completely changed my life, and I needed it. And you taught me that I am responsible for my recovery, and there are things I could do, because when I came in, I was just, my thinking was that I am a pure victim, but that is not the truth. That is a lie of depression. And so thank you. And Irene, I just thank you. I'm so, so grateful that you're here. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I still remember when you came in, and I feel really connected to you because we have so much in common, and seeing you grow and thrive and change is the miracle of this program, and it warms my heart. So thank you so much, Irene and Hugh and everybody who's here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you.
Raj, you're next.
Thank you, Hugh and Irene, and on the organizers for putting up a great conference. It has just started, and I'm starting to find hope. I have had depression now since 2000, so it's 24 years. And I have been on medication, two or three medications at a time. But now, as you emphasized, get involved, find service. And that's what I'm lacking in my life, and I'm trying to find service. I'm a retired physician, but I had service before. But after I retired, I lost my purpose and meaning in life. And that's what Journey of Hope is giving me, purpose and meaning in life. Because there was a great book I read by a concentration camp guy, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. That's a great book, and that's what I am doing right now, Man's Search for Meaning. And that gives me hope, and I'm very thankful to the organizer, Hugh and Irene, for sharing this story. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Raj. Thank you for being here.
Hi, this is Sonia. I'm sorry. I tried raising my hand, but it's not working. so I don't know why. But if I may, I would like to share. Thank you. Thank you so much, Hugh, for sharing the background and the beginning of this fellowship, how you cared for your patients to do something to help them so that they don't keep ending up depressed over and over again, because that's what depression is all about. We don't have something to hold on to, like you developed the Depressed Anonymous, the fellowship, higher power. It would not work because many of us tried it for many, many years, a whole lifetime. I know for me, that's the case. And I was depressed over and over again. I have no hope for so many years. And when I found this fellowship, because, you know, I'm one of those people like everyone here, I guess, because we found you, we found this meeting that we kept going on and on to find something different that would work since nothing was working. I am very grateful to you and to be here with us to share the beginnings of Depressed Anonymous and the doctor who published the first book. The books that I'm reading are just wonderful. The opportunity to share here is fabulous. Every day, twice a day. Is there a limit? Is there a timer? I didn't realize. So I just want to say a big thank you to you, Hugh. It's wonderful meeting you here. And I'll just say a little bit to Irene. I kind of share your background a little bit. I'm from another country myself. And I was glad to get out of it, to be honest with you, but there were many other things that developed here. And so for a long time, I didn't know that I was depressed. I just kept moving and moving until I had my first child also. And primarily is when I ended up in a hospital. And it was the beginning of different 12-step meetings. And it's amazing. It's just amazing to be here. And the experience and strength of people who have been here for many years and the newcomers. A big thank you to all of you. I pass.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, Hugh. Thank yes. you. Doreen, you're next.
I'm trying to maneuver my phone around and unmute myself. Wow, that was awesome. I just remember when I came in, it was 2 years ago in May, and I kept thinking what a miracle it was that we could actually talk to you. I mean, nobody's going to pick up the phone and call Dr. Bob or Bill Wilson anymore, you know? And to be able to live in the same time as this program is growing and flourishing and have access to the founder, I mean, that was mind-blowing to me. And I love that feistiness that the other speaker referred to about you. And you, I just think everything that you've done is such a miracle, and the books are so phenomenal, and the messages in Higher Thoughts for Down Days, they're so beautiful and prosaic. And I don't know, I'll be forever grateful to you, Hugh. And I hope we get to hear you a lot more as often as we can. And Irene, from one yoga teacher to another, I can say that you are a true yogi. And for people who want to read Irene's story, it's on the blog. You have to go back to the past a bit, but Irene was the first person who gave a story when I got this great idea to collect our stories. And then I try to get them. And so if you go to the blog, you can backtrack and find the story about yoga and depression. And I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking, it's such a privilege to be a part of DA. And I forget who said it. It might have been Einstein who said that I'm paraphrasing a little. You can look at life in two ways. Either nothing is a miracle or everything is a miracle. And I choose to believe that everything is a miracle, even the crap that happens, because it forces me to take on a mantle of gratitude. And when I do that, I truly believe that the universe shifts a little and it says, Oh, look at that person down there. Like, they're actually thanking us for this crap. That person, we're going to give them a leg up. And then the universe takes the crap and shifts it around, but not without me doing anything. You know, I get on my knees in the morning and say the third and seventh step prayer. I extract a lot from the big book of AA. And you can actually get that now as an app on your phone, which blows my mind. So you don't even have to go running around looking for your book if you don't even know where it is at the moment. It's a great life to be organized in a way that brings a dimension, which is the true reality. The life of spirit is the true reality. But we get born in a human body. And so my life journey has been about accessing what is real. That chant that Irene used at the end of yoga, lead me from the darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, and from death to immortality. I don't believe that means, you know, the dying death. That is the death of consciousness. You know I can walk around pretty unconscious, and I don't want to be. I want to be as conscious as I can be so that I can be present to myself and all the people that I love. And I just think DA is amazing. I've been around 12-step programs for 40 years, and DA is so remarkable. And the authenticity, the commitment, the genuineness of the love, the connections that I've made. I'm so grateful to and everyone. And especially right now, this moment, to Shauna, to Hugh, and to Irene. And if I could give you a big hug in person, I would, but I have to do it virtually. Mwah. Thank you.
That'll work. Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, Doreen. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and do a 2-minute timer so we can make sure everyone gets a chance to share. Who has their hand raised? Akila, come on in.
Hi, this is Akila, a grateful member of this fellowship. As you all know, like, I'm a single parent with two kids here. I don't have any immediate family members, but after joining to this group, I have never felt like I'm alone. You know, I always feel all the people whom I love and who loves me are very near to me, though I see you all only on Zoom. And one more thing, I was in 12 steps group for codependency, but this group has given me tools, practical tools, like doing what I can. And one thing I always remember what Hugh says is to be in the present moment, to be as mindful as possible, though sometimes it's tough for me, but I'm trying to apply that. And I'm just so grateful that this group gives me practical tools. Like, I've started going for walk every day and I'm doing my 10,000 steps every day. I'm doing my meditation every day after joining this group. And I write my prayers every day and do my positive affirmations. This has, and also do outreach call when I'm feeling very despair. And this has helped me a lot with being emotionally present for my kids and to be a better parent for my kids. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you for coming, sharing, Akila.
Thank you, Akila. Mike, you're next.
Shauna, I'm not sure what's wrong with my camera, but I really am here, everybody.
Okay, good.
I am wondering, I just wanted to report that I'm having more good days than bad days. And I definitely could not say that about most of 2024. So thank you for everybody who's been involved with that process. My question is there a good documentary or two or three that I could watch about depression?
Bill is shaking his head. Bill. Bill.
Yes, sorry. Hesitated on the mute. I curated a list of documentary snippets, documentaries, on YouTube. I will post a link in the chat box. Please know this is just what I found. I'm not endorsing or recommending any of the videos. Take with it as you will. And if you find something great, great.
Okay, thank you very much.
I would like to interject something. Bill here, he just spoke. Helped bring this whole conference together and got the people lined up and making it possible for years. So, Bill, thank you. I'm grateful for all that you do here and people don't know about. So you keep coming back, Bill.
Thank you. And by the way, Bernard and Katrina also helped in setting up the conference.
Good.
So thank you to them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alexander, you're next.
Hello, everybody. I'm Alexander.
Hello, Alexander.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, sir. Thank you. When I reflect on my life, I see and feel how my experience of depression, the injuries occurred in relation. And what you created here allows me to heal in relation as well. And it shows me what's possible. And I'm feeling a little bit each day in my own journey. I feel that I'm beginning to see the gifts and feel the gratitude for it, in all of it. In how I've been hurt, how I've hurt others. And I wouldn't take any of it back at all. Because I'm starting to feel the gifts in acceptance and choosing responsibility and choosing to live a vital life. And Hugh, thank you, sir. Thank you for all you've done for me, what you continue to do. And the same goes for everybody here. Those that listen kindly, those that share your presence, those that share courageously. It gives me an understanding of what it means to heal in community and live a healthy life. And that's everything that I want. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexander, for sharing, for being here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Alexander. And I didn't want to raise my hand because I knew it would keep on going down because I was calling on people, but I'm Shauna, and I'm gratefully in recovery for depression. And I thank you so much, Hugh and Irene. You both had, you made a huge difference in my life. And I was so into perfectionism when I came to DA that I would be bound to let typos affect me from getting recovered. How silly is that? You have such a beautiful message to you. And thank you so much for the message. Thank you for writing that book. Thank you for writing the books that you've written and for starting this group. DEA is something that I needed because I was suffering with depression all of my life. And I was trying to do things on my own, but oh my gosh, this book was inspired by a power much greater than myself. And I'm so thankful for DA. And for Irene, she's been a part of my recovery, whether people like it or not, you know? And I think when I'm closed-minded, you know, I suffer and I get very constricted. And so I thank you, Irene, for your beautiful gift as well. And I'm glad you're both the opening people today for this community. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Shauna. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to need to end the sharing here, because we need to stop the recording and the next session starts in 90 seconds. So we have to move on. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to end the recording now.